Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Lucy Hickmott.
Hello, hope you're okay and had a good weekend. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast on Monday, the 4th of March. A leading charity in Kent is calling for safe and legal routes for refugees after a seven-year-old girl died while trying to cross from northern France. The boat she was in capsized with 16 people on board. Earlier I spoke to Kay Marsh from Samfire in Dover.
This will be the second loss of life actually in the last week. I believe it's four people now. There are two separate occasions, obviously after the incident on Wednesday. This one being a small child, it just makes it that more traumatic and horrendous, really.
Yeah, it absolutely doesn't bear thinking about to think about that family, because she was with her mum, who I think was pregnant, her dad and three siblings as well.
Yeah, it really is. It really does hit home, though, doesn't it? How desperate somebody has to be to bring their entire family, their children, their pregnant wife, and put them in that situation. Nobody would do that unless there was, no other choice, basically. And this just goes to show that these people really don't have another choice. And, the threat of Rwanda or any of the other various deterrent strategies that we've offered as a country clearly aren't doing the job. We know that now. We need to start. We need compassion. This is children are losing their lives. And this really needs to be a turning point. I've said it so many times before, but it does.
Yeah, and as you say, this is the second fatal incident in the Channel in the space of a week, which seems really shocking.
Yes, it does. And it just goes to show how unpredictable this crossing is. Do you know what I mean? It's cold. And I was on a ferry in the middle of the night a few days ago myself, actually, from France to Dover, and to see the conditions. It is pitch black. There is no light. It is freezing cold, windy, wet. It's terrifying. It's absolutely terrifying, the thought that people are out there on these little boats risking their lives.
Do you think maybe it has hit home with people a little bit more, hearing about this little girl who was only 7 years old, for someone so young to lose their life trying to get to the UK?
I would certainly hope so. Very often when things like this happen, or at least in the past, we have seen people perhaps acting and speaking a little more compassionately about people in these situations. However, I think it happens so often now that people with, say anti-migrant views in this country are just becoming used to it. And even these circumstances aren't bringing that compassion up, if you will, for people anymore. When something like this happens, we always say we hope this is going to be a catalyst for change. We hope this is going to change the way that the government looks at migration and migration policy. And of course, it doesn't. And the more desensitised people become, especially policymakers, the less chance that there is of that happening.
Figures show 327 people in eight other boats made the dangerous journey across the Channel yesterday. The government insists their Rwanda bill will help tackle the problem. It's being debated again in the House of Lords this evening.
Kent Online reports.
Three people have been arrested after a man was stabbed in Ramsgate. Armed officers were called following the attack in Hurst Grove early yesterday morning. The victims being treated in hospital for injuries that aren't thought to be life-threatening. Three men and a woman from Gravesend have been arrested after a fight at a bar in Maidstone. Violence broke out at Moo Moo in the town centre on Saturday evening. Police are also hunting another man. Now, a fundraising page has been set up to help pay for the funeral of a 16-year-old girl who died in a crash on the A249 near Sittingbourne. Alicia Marie Ponta was a passenger in a vehicle that hit a road barrier and overturned near the Stockbury roundabout last month. Family and friends want to raise £7,000 to give her a good send-off. This is one of our most read stories today. A Canterbury man says he's faced a seven-month battle after receiving a water bill for more than £3,000. It's because of a leak outside his Airbnb property in Whitstable. Lauren joins me now with more details. So how did this all come about?
Well, Ian Shearer says he only noticed the issue when his monthly direct debit went up from £50 to £1,800. He went to check the reading and found water pouring out of a meter and into a drain near the property on Victoria Street. He tried to get in touch with the company in charge of supplies, Business Stream, last July, but says he heard nothing back for weeks as his bill rose to more than £3,200. The 57-year-old teacher insists he shouldn't have to pay it as the leak was not his fault and did not occur on his property.
And I understand the situation escalated even further.
Yes, that's right. Ian says when he refused to pay the money, he started receiving demanding texts and calls from a debt collection agency. It weighed heavily on his mental health and also caused a lot of stress for his family. When Kent Online contacted Business Stream, they agreed to pay him a leak allowance of just under £1,000. But after further inquiries, a customer service representative said an additional credit in the region of £1,600 would be applied to his account.
So what happened to the leak?
Well, apparently South East Water, who are the wholesale provider, had issues gaining access due to the location of the meter. They eventually had to get a road closure permit in order to fix the leak. It's now been repaired and Business Stream have apologised to Mr. Shearer for the delays.
Thanks, Lauren. Head over to the website to see a video of a tree falling down a cliff during a landslide in Folkestone. It landed just metres away from people walking along a path at Sunny Sands Beach. Residents say they're worried after a number of landslips in the town recently. Council bosses have been approached for a comment. A cat's had to have her eye removed after being dumped in an alleyway in a Kent village. Freya was found in a poor condition off the high street in Halling. The RSPCA say her injury could have been caused by deliberate cruelty. She's getting treatment at their site in Leybourne. A Kent campaigner is calling for paid leave for parents who lose a baby in early pregnancy. Keely Lengthorne suffered 3 miscarriages in 3 years, but she wasn't entitled to any time off after her son George was stillborn at 23 weeks. She's been chatting to Kate about her experience.
So I've had 3 miscarriages to date. So my first miscarriage was at 6 weeks. And then I had an ectopic pregnancy which ruptured. And shortly after my ectopic pregnancy, I discovered that there was no paid leave from work. So I was very lucky in that my employer paid for me to be away from work. But it was quite topical at the time. And there was legislation that was introduced in New Zealand, which the Prime Minister, as she then was introducing paid statutory leave for men and women in the event of a loss under 24 weeks. And that's 3 days paid leave. So I produced a baby loss policy and I presented it to my director of HR at Taylor Rose Listers. And that was implemented as a firm-wide policy in December 2021. Unfortunately, I was the first person to use the baby loss policy when I lost my son, George, in March 2022.
And with the policy that was implemented where you work, was it just the paid parental leave or were there other things involved?
So we have the paid parental leave. So the document in its current stance means that employees get 3 days paid leave, but it's discretionary. So, for instance, when George died, my employer were really good and I had 6 weeks off paid leave. Additionally, I have implemented within the firm the role of a fertility officer, which is me. a fertility officer is someone that you can approach in the firm in the event of a loss, because when you have a loss, the last thing you want to be doing is looking around on the intranet, looking for the policies, etc. So now there's a dedicated fertility officer. So if someone is having fertility treatment or has a loss or is pregnant and doesn't want to be pregnant, they can contact me separate from HR, separate from their line manager, and we can talk it through and we can put things in their diary in terms of where they are, because people don't always want to put in their diary, for instance, having IVF. Okay, so we sort out between us what kind of leave they have. And then I liaise with HR separately, according to that employee's wishes and feelings.
I wanted to ask you, so you've developed George's Law based around your own experiences. Can you talk me through how it felt when, after you lost George, to suddenly find out that you were expected by law to sort of just pick up and go back to work? What was that like for you?
Well, I had a 6-hour birth with George and then a 6-hour placental delivery with him. So I left him at the mortuary at 9 o'clock, and then I had a midwife coming around the next day to stop my milk. And the law says I should be back at work. So after George died, I was supported by Abigail's Footsteps, who are a huge baby loss charity in Kent. And we did some fundraising for a cold cot for George. We raised about £30,000. And it was at that juncture that I decided that I needed to do something. I'm a lawyer and I thought I had to do something nationally So it was in the June that I started a national campaign calling on all employers in the country to implement George's Law.
Kent Online News.
More than 150 people have objected to plans for 23 new homes near Deal. A planning application's been submitted to develop the site off St Edmunds Road in Great Mungem. Residents say it's disappointing to see more green space being taken over by houses, and the project poses a threat to wildlife. Meantime, residents in another part of Deal are concerned about potential noise coming from a new wedding venue. The owners behind Ripple Court Estate have been allowed to put up a marquee, provided it's taken down between October and April. They now want to keep it up all year round and have applied to change their planning permission. Neighbours say it's only going to cause more problems. As we mark 200 years of the RNLI, volunteers in Kent say not everyone understands what they do. Lifeboat crews are called out to emergencies at sea, but they're not paid for their work. Jack Smedley has been part of the Sheerness crew for 7 years.
In general, if the pager's going off, you're going to the worst moments in someone's life. So I think that personal touch and that commitment is what makes it all the more special for people that don't get paid. To do it, it shows that willingness that we're there, we just want to help. There's still quite a few people that I've known for years and family and things like that think we're lifeguards or that this is a full-time job. I think where we're behind closed doors in the port, that doesn't help us as a station.
The charity was set up in 1824 and has saved nearly 150,000 lives at sea. Rachel Collier is also on the Sheerness crew and says they get a wide range of call-outs.
We can be going to a broken down yacht that needs towing back in to someone who's in a mental health crisis. In the summer, we're dealing with inflatables off the beach. Sometimes with kids in, sometimes without. My first sort of memory of going out and thinking, oh, you know, this is for real, is like, you know, you go out at night when I was inexperienced and you're having to put all your trust in fellow crew members. And that was, you know, that was quite an eye-opener at times when it's pitch black and you're trusting everybody on board.
She runs a pub on Sheppey and says sometimes the call-outs can be disruptive.
It's usually when you've got a lot to do, when you've got a big to-do list, then the pager goes off. It's not happened actually that often when I've been out socialising, but it has happened when I've been in supermarkets and I've had to leave a shopping trolley and say, oh, I'll be back. Just can you keep my shopping for me?
A service of Thanksgiving was held at Westminster Abbey earlier today to celebrate the charity's 200th anniversary.
Kent Online reports.
There have been calls to reinstate a speed camera in Maidstone as residents raise concerns over safety. The camera on Lewes Road on the northbound carriageway just before the junction with Shields Crescent was switched off without explanation 5 years ago. Locals say the stretch, which is close to several schools and a dangerous bend, is being used like a racetrack. A bid to stop the introduction of controversial charges at three coastal car parks has been rejected. Swale Council want to bring in paid parking at the Little Oyster site in Minster, as well as the library and Park Road in Queenborough, to raise much-needed revenue. Proposals to fill gaps in the budget by other means were voted down. A final decision on parking charges will be made on Wednesday. A pub landlord near Faversham says business has never been better, despite the tough conditions the industry's facing. Lisa Burton runs the Red Lion in Baddlesmere. She says takings have increased sixfold compared to when she took over 6 years ago. She puts the success down to hard work and a fun atmosphere, and being the only pub in Kent with a fully gluten-free menu.
Kent Online News.
A couple from West Malling have been left without their pension for a month after an error by Royal Mail. Trevor and Christine Wells went on a three-month cruise in November and paid £90 for their post to be kept in a secure place until they returned. But some of the letters were accidentally sent back, meaning their money didn't go into their accounts. Our reporter Ellie's been chatting to Trevor.
They had a driver. He was not an experienced driver. He took it upon himself to see a big pile of post. He took it upon himself to decide that he will send back anything that had an address on the back of the envelope, and the rest goes to Belfast. He took that decision upon himself, off of his own back, probably didn't have the autonomy to do it, but he did.
And can you explain the sort of customer service you've received since lodging your complaint?
That has been probably my most frustrating part. to actually phone in the way I did, and I explained, and I spent 20 minutes explaining to the gentleman. I asked him for a reference number for his name. He gave me three initials. I left it with him and thought he would sort it out. 2 days later, nothing had been sorted out. I phoned in again. Having gone over the whole situation, having explained to him the problems that it was caused me, I got no idea of sympathy. I wasn't after sympathy. I just wanted him to understand what had happened. But on the contrary, far from not understanding what happened, he said, "You'll get your £90 back. And no, you're not getting any compensation," and put the phone down on me. That was not quite the what I would have expected from what I, a services department, are supposed to be there to help you. But they certainly, he was of no help at all.
So now you have sent a letter off to higher powers in the company. What response are you hoping to get from them?
I hope no more than people to admit that was in fact an oversight. Obviously, we want our £90 back, and I would expect some compensation for it. I'm not talking about a lot of compensation, but I want somebody to know, realise and understand the problems that's caused us, which is a massive amount.
Royal Mail have apologised and say training's been provided to staff.
Kent Online reports.
The launch of a fast-track bus service between Whitfield and Dover has been delayed. The zero-emission service, which is set to cost £23 million, was meant to be up and running early this year. Kent County Council say the project's been held up and they're hoping to have it ready by the summer. The railway line between Sittingbourne and Rainham is back open today after a landslip. No trains were running last week because of emergency repair work at Newington. Network Rail say heavy rain caused by climate change was to blame for the 40-metre crack in the embankment. Truck stops in Kent are getting more than £2 million to upgrade their facilities. Government cash will be used to create more parking spaces and improve welfare sites for drivers in Ashford, Sandwich, Cheriton and Medway. It's hoped it will attract more people to the industry. And a florist in Headcorn is celebrating 25 years of business. Sweet William was set up by Julia Archer in 1999. She's been telling our reporter Cara Simmons how she started it.
I had a family friend who had her own florist shop, so she took me under her wing a bit. And then I studied at Hadlow College, fortunately was able to get in there, studied for 3 years full time there. And then my dad was very sort of, he wanted me to get some commercial experience. So I went and worked in a florist shop on the high street and then latterly had my own business, which was my dream.
Studied at Hadlow, what was that like? Was that just learning sort of the ins and outs of, I mean, what do you learn about in floristry?
So I always remember my lecturer saying to me on my interview, she said, "I hope you don't mind hard work." And of course, at 16 years old, I just thought, no, I don't mind hard work. And that is a massive understatement, because floristry is one of the hardest professions. It really is physically hard as well, with the cold weather and hands in water, etc. But obviously, it was flowers. Arranging flowers was one of the main things, but it's also about the plant science. So you're learning about how the plant drinks and takes its food up. And there was finance we had to do, so all the running of the business, because I did the advanced floristry. So marketing, I mean, every element you can imagine, accountancy, every element for running your own business had to be incorporated into the course.
What do you like personally? What do you like about floristry then? And having this business,
I mean, I think we're the seasons of the flowers is just amazing, and that's, I think, that keeps it all alive, because you've got, I mean, now we're in springtime, so we've got, then that's very special season, one of my favorites. And then of course you'll go into the summertime and it'll be a different selection of flowers, which just brings the freshness to it all the time. And I think it's meeting people as well, and we with people on a bit of a journey, like with weddings, you know, they may be, you're working with them for a year or 2 years on the build up to their wedding, and also on the other end of the scale with funerals. And, you know, so that was another thing we had to cover at college, was the counselling side of things, because you get bereaved people coming in So it's quite, you're dealing with people at their most emotional times.
She's also hoping for a big boost in sales for Mother's Day.
Kent Online Sports.
Football, and Gillingham are back in the League Two playoff places after beating Salford City away from home. Goals from Shad Ogie and Tim Dean gave the Gills a 2-0 lead in torrential rain and hailstones at the Peninsula Stadium. Manager Stephen Clements spoke to reporters after the match.
Well, I certainly didn't want it off, I know that, because we've travelled up here and we travelled halfway up to Barrow before and we got the game pulled off. So, but it's a typical, some sort of League Two fixture, I think. I remember playing on many a pitch like this back in the day, so it's...
You might have enjoyed it, Martin, you're a few out there.
Yeah, midfield player, have a slide around, try and win the ball back, make sure you roll your sleeves up, get yourself dirty, and yeah, it's like the good old days, I didn't mind it.
And as a whole, you must feel like you're really going on a bit of a roll now, you must think things are starting to click.
Yeah, well, look, I felt good about things for a while, to be honest. You get a tricky result, or you draw, or you get beat, which they say we've only been beat twice in 12. Yeah. Then you know there's a lot of noise around the place. But as I said to you after the game that last weekend, was that we only ever achieve anything if we're together. And there will still be tricky results between now and the end of the season, but we all stay together. We're all as one. We'll have a chance of being successful at this football club.
They're back on the road to face Barrow tomorrow. That's all from us for now. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget you can follow us on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok and Threads. You can also get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via The Briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.